This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
Well, we are back again talking about Gilbert Bible Church's biblical convictions, and we are on conviction three, the doctrines of grace. Last time we talked about how the sinner's life is totaled, or what's oftentimes referred to as total depravity. And next we are picking up the Father's sovereign and electing love. So today we're going to be talking about, at least starting with, the Father's sovereign and electing love. We are all totally depraved, totally unable and unwilling to change our spiritual condition. We're running from God. We're running from heaven. We want nothing to do with Him. And yet scriptures overwhelmingly teach that God, in His gracious and loving, merciful sovereignty, chooses to save sinners anyway. Even though they deserve His wrath, He, in His grace and love and mercy, saves sinners, the Father's sovereign and electing love. Tyler, you want to start us off talking a little bit more detail regarding God's sovereign and electing love?
I think this doctrine is full of words that we find all over our Bibles. I do think it's biblical. I think we have to just wrestle with the fact that God says He chose us. God says He elected us. God said He saves, ultimately. I think a great spot to start is Ephesians 1, where these words pop up several times. So before Paul gets to the fact that we were dead in transgressions and sins, like we just talked about previously, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love, by predestining us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Why? "To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He graciously bestowed on us in the Beloved." God says He chose us. He told us how He did this, by predestining us to adoption as sons. This was according to the good pleasure of His will, and it is to the praise of the glory of His grace. This truth brings God glory, ultimately. That's why we need to be about it, because it glorifies our Father.
Yep, absolutely. When thinking through these doctrines of grace, the sinner's life is total. That's the T, tulip. Like I said, might be helpful for some, might be a challenge for others. The Father's sovereign electing love is that He unconditionally elects, or unconditional election. He does this not on merit of us. It's not that He, like I said last time, looks down the corridor of time and sees, oh, well, we would choose Him, so He elects us. This is actually originating out of His own will, His own decision, His love that He chooses to extend. His salvation that He chooses to give. As we said last time, salvation is of the Lord. It's from the Lord. And so the Father sovereignly chooses those whom He will save for His own glory. And that's, like you said, Tyler, that's the clear teaching from Scripture, 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2. He chose us. He called us. He elects us. We see it time and time again in Scripture. And what those who don't believe this have to do is say what Scripture says it doesn't really mean.
Right.
And when people try to bring their logic to bear on salvation, it trips you up, and it makes you have to negate or contradict or explain away somehow what Scripture clearly teaches. But salvation is of God, and He does elect, and He does save those whom He wills to save.
You know, Tyler, thank you for taking us to Ephesians 1. And I just want to point out again in verse 4, just as he chose us in him, and catch this, before the foundations of the world. I wasn't around before the foundations of the world. It can't be based on anything I did. God chose this thousands of years before I was born. He chose us in him before the foundations of the world that we would be holy and blameless before him. You can't argue with when God did this. He did it before the garden. He did this before the first sin entered the world. He knew it before the foundations of the world. And at the same time that somebody might wrestle with that, I would say find comfort in that he is all-knowing. His mind knows it all.
Yeah. Yep. And this, I think that's a great point, Tom, that what we see in our New Testament about God's electing love is not a new idea of how God operates. Right. What it explains, this is how he's operated from the beginning, from before the foundation of time.
Yep.
He chose those whom he would save. And we see that in the Old Testament as well, Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 14.
Even through 15. 15,
yeah. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord, or to Yahweh your God, belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did Yahweh set his affection to love them and chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples, as it is this day. And so we see even there the electing love of God, choosing out, setting apart a people for his own possession. It's just not a new theology or a new idea that God would function this way. God chooses those whom he will save. And yep. You go to Romans 9, you see that really clear. Jacob, I loved, Esau, I hated. People really struggle with that concept, but they need to recognize when they struggle with that concept, they're not simply struggling with some sort of theology or theory. They're struggling with what God himself has said.
That's right. Yeah, if you believe what we believe about Scripture from 2 Timothy 3:16-17, that all Scripture is God-breathed, God breathed it. Do you agree with it? Because you're fighting with God.
So how would you help somebody who's really struggling with the thought, I just don't understand how a loving and good God would choose to save some and not everybody?
This might not be the most helpful thing to say, but why would he save any?
Yeah. You know what? I just was watching a clip of John MacArthur answering that question, and that was his.
Yeah, might not be the most helpful thing to say, but
the question is not ultimately what we should be most impressed by, or most distraught by, or most compelled by, is not that he didn't save everybody, but that he actually would save anybody.
Absolutely, and I have said this, and this might not be helpful to somebody asking me this question. If I were God, it would still be raining, and they'd still be on the ark, and there'd be these skeletons there. God is so merciful.
Yeah.
He is so kind, and he's not like us.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Well, I think it comes back to what Tyler pointed us to earlier from Ephesians 1, that he chooses to save some for his glory.
Yeah.
And that is, he is not bound to or particularly concerned with our understanding or interpretation or view or standard of what we think is fair. And in fact, every human that contends that it's not fair that he would save some and not others actually doesn't want to be held to the standard in which they're trying to hold God to of what fairness actually is.
Yeah.
Because if we were to only experience fairness, then we would only experience wrath.
Yep. That's just.
That's what's just.
That is just.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just even the thought of you must believe that God's grace is undeserved. There's nothing we do to deserve any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how we know that salvation is, it's unconditional.
Yeah.
It's only by his grace.
Yeah,
it takes me back again, and I know I mentioned this in the last time we were together, Ephesians 2:8-9. It is by grace,
mm-hmm.
through faith, that you've been saved. Hmm. There's nothing we could have done.
It's not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God.
Yeah. You would have, Tom, you would have never deserved God's grace. He gave it to you.
Yeah.
He lavished it.
Well, and you can't argue that if you understand what Scripture teaches regarding the condition of man, what we talked about last time, that the sinner's life is totaled. If you actually understand what that means, what God teaches, what is the reality of the heart of man, then you recognize there's no way for me to be out of that except for God to pull me out, to elect and to save. And there's nothing in me that merits that, that calls for that. It's all originating out of him, which is both humbling, but it's good because it gives the glory and the credit where it is actually due, which is unto the Lord.
And it just, a reminder, the only difference between me and the most wicked Adolf Hitler is God's grace.
Mm.
Between me and any unsaved person, the only difference is it's not me.
Yeah.
It's God's grace.
The tendency of self-righteousness in our own hearts is so pervasive. And one of the ways that I have to fight that reality in my own heart, the tendency for self-righteousness, is to remind myself, even in my best moments, I'm far closer to the worst of That's humanity right. that I perceive than the Lord.
Yep.
And what I have seen played out externally on anyone pales in comparison to what I've observed and experienced internally in my own motives and my own wickedness.
That's right.
And so, you know, maybe as we think about the sinner's life being totaled and the Father's sovereign electing love, before we move on to the Son's atoning death, I'd love to hear maybe just some of the implications of this theology on your hearts. When you think about, because ultimately that's what we want, the truth of Scripture to increase our view of God, to help us more accurately view ourselves, and to help us worship God more. When you think about the Father's sovereign and electing love, how does that practically impact your heart to want to worship God more?
Well, it humbles me to the point of knowing what I deserve,
mm-hmm.
which the only right response, motivation, is to be obedient, to love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul.
Yeah.
And to love others as I love myself. It's motivating to know how kind God has been and what I really deserve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you, Tyler?
Yeah, I agree. It is really helpful for me to remember God just says, I will show compassion to whom I will show compassion. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, from Exodus 33. And it humbles you. I do not deserve anything. I can remember Ephesians 2. this is who I was, dead in transgressions and sin. It's really helpful to remember Ephesians 2 is not written to the world, but to believers.
Believers.
Mm-hmm. This is who you were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is not who your friend down the block is right now, primarily. It might be true, but this is what believers need to know. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, but God made you alive according to his grace, not according to anything that you would do so that no one would boast.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be humbled. I do think it is really helpful to produce thanksgiving in me.
Yeah.
The commands from 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
I am completely dependent upon him, and I need him, and I should call out to him. Mm-hmm. I should be so thankful for what he has given. It is not what I deserve.
Mm-hmm. Tyler, that is so good. There's something you said in there drew my mind back to Genesis 1:26 about being created in God's image. And when you see God for who he is in salvation, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. It motivates us to holiness.
Yeah.
He created us in his image.
Yeah. Yeah, when we understand who we are, who we were apart from him, what we've received sourced out of him, there's nothing that we could offer him that supersedes what we've received from him. Yeah. It's just anything pales in comparison. And so, Tyler, what you were talking about, the heart of rejoicing, the heart of dependence, the heart of thanksgiving, all of those things must and do flow out of a proper understanding of who we are apart from God and who we've been made by God, through God.
Yeah. You know, Romans 5 is true. We deserve wrath. Mm. We deserve hell. We deserve death.
Yeah.
God's been good to us.
Yeah. God demonstrated his love for us.
Amen.
Amazing. All right, we're just gonna keep working through these. I don't wanna shortchange any of them. Give us the time that we need to talk through them, but we're gonna stop there for today, and then we'll pick up on the Son's atoning death next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.